The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio is facing a number of challenges: transportation, economic competitiveness, affordable housing, property taxes, public health, and more. To put the city on the right path is going to take leadership, vision, and dedication. That's the job of the mayor. On Saturday, May 4th, San Antonio will vote for mayor and city council. Today, we're going to hear from the top two candidates for mayor, incumbent Ron Nirenberg and challenger District 6 Councilmember Greg Brockhaus. There are seven other candidates on the ballot for mayor. They did not meet our criteria for participation today. There's more about that on our website at tpr.org. Our format: there are two-minute opening statements, then questions, which will be mainly generated from listener calls and from emails. 2 minutes for those answers, and then at the end, there will be a one-minute closing statement. Now, in order to keep the candidates focused on their own vision and solutions for the city, we have a rule. If a candidate characterizes his opponent or their policies, then there is a full stop. That candidate is cut off, and we get a response from that other candidate, and then we move on. Just talk about yourself, candidates, and your policies, and that's not a problem. So you can call in with your questions for the candidates. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource at tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. We flipped a coin earlier to see who would go first, and Councilman Brockhaus won that coin toss. He elected to go second. And so we're going to start off with a two-minute opening statement with Mayor Ron Nirenberg. And Mayor Nirenberg, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, Dave, and good afternoon to you tuned in. Thanks so much for having us here today. My name is Ron Nirenberg. I'm husband to Erica, father to a 10-year-old son named Jonan. For the last 2 years, I've been privileged to serve this city as mayor of San Antonio. 2 years ago, you elected me mayor because I promised to make San Antonio the city you deserve, and I'm delivering on that promise. We've regained our momentum, and San Antonio is thriving. Our economy has netted another 40,000 new jobs, many of them in high-paying target industries, and we're at full employment, meaning that more San Antonians are working today than ever before. In the 2 years that I've been mayor, we've brought our crime down from a 25-year high to a 30-year low, and in our top priority, easing traffic congestion, we're making great progress. We prioritize the projects in the most congested areas. I've doubled the amount of resources going to basic street maintenance, and we've launched Connect SA, which is the most innovative transportation plan the city has ever seen, and we're looking forward to having that for voter approval next year. I'm proud of the great strides that we're making in just 2 years, but all of that progress is at risk if we don't stay the course and sustain the momentum and remain focused on our success. So that means taking care of the 1.5 million people that are here today, but also planning ahead for the 1 million more that will share our city over the next 20 years. I have a proven record and a strong vision for the future, and that's what our city needs to continue our success. So I hope you'll agree with me. We need to continue to keep our economy booming. We need to stay vigilant on crime, and we need to continue to forge ahead on comprehensive solutions to our transportation problems. And so that's why I'm asking for your vote on May 4th to continue working hard every single day to make San Antonio the city you deserve.
Now we go to the opening statement from Greg Brockhaus.
David, thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to continue to have this conversation, and thank you to everybody out there listening today, and of course, thank you to Ron for the opportunity to sit down and talk about the future of our city. Ron and I will go back and forth and have differences of opinion, but at the end of the day, we both care about San Antonio. It's this, the path that is different. It's the ideas that we get to talk about today, and those conversations are what's most important to residents. It's the issues, the things that matter on their streets and in their neighborhoods. I'm a lifelong San Antonio resident, very proud of that. My family, the Arrochas, grew up on the south side of San Antonio off Mission Road. We moved up to Valley High, graduated from John Jay High School far too many years ago now. I joined the United States Air Force. I'm a proud veteran. Served 10 years on active duty, graduated from Southwest Texas State University, got into banking work here in San Antonio, and have lived the last 25, 30 years off of 151 out there, 1604. So I know and love this community, and I look forward to the opportunity to lead it into the future. But over the last few years, the number one thing I noticed about City Hall, even before I got elected and some of the work I've done before that, was just giant disconnect between what matters most to residents and neighborhoods versus what matters most at City Hall. And my campaign is entirely about closing that gap and ensuring that we do what matters most to neighborhoods, communities, and families first, and build all that around some simple platforms. So I'm coming at this from a public safety perspective, jobs and wages. Infrastructure needs, and then neighborhood building, as well as lower property taxes and fees. We can grow a city and we can build it, but we have to remember the 1.5 million people that are here now. Those who call San Antonio home and have called it home for generations deserve the very best we have, to be at the highest priority of what matters most to them. That's the kind of mayor I'm going to be, a neighborhood mayor, family mayor first, pushing the things that matter most to each community in San Antonio.
All right, let's go to our first question, and Councilman Brockhaus, you're going to be the first to answer it. And it's a voicemail received from Deanna.
I would like to know which 3 or 5 things each candidate would see as most important for us to engage in now to make our city a better place to live for our children and grandchildren in the year 2070. That's 50 years from now.
All right, so Councilman Brockhaus?
Well, you know, 50 years from now, one of the things I worry about in today's world and the things we're doing as a city is us losing our culture and identity. As we try to build and grow San Antonio, and a lot of the policies downtown are focused on millennials and 1 million people coming to San Antonio. That's what we think about policy-wise, the lead point at City Hall. I'm going to flip that script and go back to making sure we protect neighborhoods. And we understand that in the next 50 years, those families that are here today, those homes, those jobs, those generational opportunities stay within those families and in those neighborhoods. So that for me starts to just really good jobs and wages. We have to get after bringing good jobs and opportunities to San Antonio. Wages solves nearly every problem we have in our community, and we must partner with the business community to get there. We send a lot of anti-business messages out to the nation, whether it's Chick-fil-A, Amazon, the Republican National Convention. We show we're not ready for the big time. In 2018, we had the worst job creation in the last 10 years at City Hall. We can't have that in our city. Jobs and wages then leads to lower property taxes and fees. So point two is we got to make sure that we are allowing and helping our residents to stay in the homes that they have right now. They have to be able to afford them. Our property tax rates, we've tried to, as on city council, I've tried to lower them 2 years in a row. Unfortunately, we lost that battle. But Clayton Perry and myself ended up voting in favor of property tax relief. So we're working hard to do that. We're trying to implement a citywide homestead exemption. Then we come to public safety. We have to ramp up our police officer force. Here's an interesting fact. Dallas has 200,000 fewer residents in San Antonio, yet they have 500 more police officers. And crime is different for every neighborhood in this community. There may be a vehicle burglary theft or mailbox theft up in Stone Oak, and then it's a murder on the south side, or it's gang-related something on the west side. We have to think about crime from a holistic approach, ramp up the police department, make it respect that role and job again, and build more into our public safety departments, and then work on infrastructure as well.
All right, Mayor Ron Nuremberg, the question again from Deanna was 3 to 5 different things we can do for San Antonio that will prepare the city for 50 years from now.
Well, the 3 priorities that I have as mayor are really also the priorities that I focused on in my 2 terms as a city councilman in District 8 in a very fast-growing area of our city. First one is strengthen our economy, and that includes diversifying the sectors that are creating jobs in our community, and we've done that very well. We need to continue that effort. We've created 40,000 jobs together as a community. This economy has created 40,000 jobs, more than that, over the last 2 years, a number of them, most of them, in targeted industries. We need to continue on that path as we also strengthen our workforce development pipeline, which is a strong focus on education in this community. That's my top priority. The second priority is also on transportation. Make sure that the city finally delivers a comprehensive multimodal transportation vision for the future that is citizen-driven and voter-approved. And that's why I'm very excited about Connect SA, which will be on people's ballots next year. And the third most important priority is that we remain vigilant on crime. A city is nothing if it's not safe and our community feels safe in their homes. And that's why I'm proud of the progress that we've made. The suggestion that we haven't made progress, though, is an affront to the truth and also a disrespect to the men and women of law enforcement who are actually on the front lines of doing that work to make our community a safer place. We need to stay vigilant on crime, particularly addressing the epidemic level of domestic violence in this community, and that's what we're going to be focused on over the next few years.
All right, another caller. This one's live, and this is from Lewis. And Lewis, thanks for calling into The Source. You're on the air with the candidates for mayor. Go ahead. This goes first to with Mayor Ron Nuremberg. Go ahead.
Regarding the bill that was passed to support firefighters and union negotiations. What are your plans to get our credit rating back up to 3A.
All right, Lewis, thank you for that. So the credit rating took a hit, but how do we plan to get it back up? That's a question that came from Lewis. And Mayor Ron Nuremberg, you get your first 2 minutes at it.
Well, it was unfortunate that our credit rating did take a hit because of Proposition C, which was the proposition that was put forward by Local 624. Advanced my colleague on the councilman, Councilman Brockhouse, and it did create a downgrade for the first time in recent memory. We have to remain fiscally disciplined. So as we go into the contract negotiations, and there are talks taking place right now, we cannot move the goal line with regard to fiscal discipline. We have to ensure that as stewards of your tax dollars, that we're able to take care of the essentials of this community, which is paving streets, making sure that our parks are clean, making sure that libraries stay open, but that we also take care of the public safety needs in this community. And it requires fiscal discipline, requires leadership, and that's why I'm very proud of the work that we're doing together to get this contract addressed without giving in to the unions that have put in $478,000 into my opponent's pocket before he became council.
Okay, so let's go ahead and you're kind of getting close to attacking your opponent directly. So let's
I'd like to address that. I think I deserve a rebuttal on his final comment there. As Mayor Ron Nuremberg is apt to do when he lacks the ideas and accomplishment.
No, you're doing the same thing.
Well, I got to respond back to his attack. You said we could rebut his attack.
Yeah, you can rebut the attack, but now with a counterattack.
The fact is, I'm a small business owner, right? And I had two clients, police officers and the firefighters, years before I was elected to city council. The mayor is characterizing that $500,000, and he's saying it everywhere, as though that was money given to me. I ran a business. I had marketing and advertising fees. I put billboards up. I built websites for their public outreach department. A small business person, an owner, would understand that you have income in, expenses out, and then there's profitability. So I'm going to vehemently deny what the mayor is saying there because it's an outright falsehood and a lie.
Okay, so since we're using harsh language, let's just try and boil this down to the essential truth. There is a fire union in San Antonio.
Yes.
You have worked with them over the years.
Yeah, relinquished those contracts in 2016.
They are supporting you in this campaign.
Yes.
They are spending an interesting sum of money to do so.
No, that's not what the mayor is alleging. He's alleging that $500,000 was paid to me. And that is an outright falsehood and a lie.
Do you want me to answer that?
Sure, go ahead. And then we got to move on.
Okay. Well, $478,000 was paid to Councilman Brockhouse to be the consultant to wage war against the city, on which we're still trying to get out of to have a fair negotiation between the firefighters who deserve their raises, deserve a contract, and the city of San Antonio taxpayers who must fund it.
Okay. And I think we've exhausted this topic.
Yeah,
okay. All right.
Let me answer the previous question.
All right, yeah, so you have to respond to the question, which was how do we get our credit rating back to where it was?
Well,
two
out of the three credit agencies reaffirmed AAA status. Fitch, which is the third tier rating agency, did come back around and say that what they outlined was due to the Proposition C, that was their fear, the lack of the fire contract. And I think once the fire contract is completed, that will be revisited and returned to a AAA bond rating. But here's the important thing to notice as well. This was citizen-driven. I mean, the citizens voted this. So at the end of the day, if we have a problem with it, then the real problem is with the citizens of San Antonio, who clearly made a vote. I think they voted, and we listened, and we implemented Proposition C. If it would have failed, it would have failed. But by the way, the citizens chose two out of three of those amendments and passed them. So we can't demean the citizens' opportunity to have their voice and speak. At the end of the day, though, there's a bigger question here is from a debt perspective, people should know that the downgrading doesn't affect any current debt we have right now. So the risk is not a fear factor scenario to me. I think it's we got to be very careful not to run on saying firefighters could cost us senior centers, streets, sidewalks. You can't build that division between first responders in the city. The truth is, if we had better priorities at City Hall, we spent the money where it matters most, and we treated first responders with respect and courtesy and not sued them over a period of years, only losing and spending millions in the process, then that relationship would be much better. So look, they're at the table negotiating. These contracts take anywhere from 6 to 12 months to do. I hope, and I've asked them, get to the table. That's where the deal's at. Work hard with the negotiators. There are no council members in those negotiations. Work hard, let the experts do their job. Our new city manager, Eric Walsh, Andy Segovia and the team, and let's see what they could come up with. We have to trust the process, but always protect the taxpayer.
All right, so I'm gonna ask a question here, kind of following up on this. and we can spin it sort of for both of you guys in this way. So in your first up, Councilman Brockhouse, can you talk about your relationship with the Firefighters Union moving forward? There are people who are concerned that if you get elected mayor, then you will have this beneficial relationship with them and you will be the mayor of the Firefighters Union and not so much the mayor of the city. And we're going to ask Ron Nuremberg, the mayor, his spin on the question if he has an adversarial relationship with them. But look, can we just give me 2 minutes about you kind of reassuring people talking about that concern?
Sure. Before I ran for public office in 2016, I was the consultant for the San Antonio Police Officers Association, and I did different campaigns for the firefighters. I relinquished those contracts in November of 2016 prior to even starting my political campaign. First and foremost, I didn't want that to be a part of any ethics or issue that appeared inappropriate. So I separated those relationships and I gave up those contracts. I got in and got elected, and you can judge me by the work I've done in District 6. I have been 100% a neighborhood and community activist. I've worked hard in my district day to day, every neighborhood, making sure they understood. My goal is to make them happy, to serve those residents. I just want to take that citywide and do that across 10 districts. This, I will tell you, I think the relationship is a positive, right? I'm the only person they trust at City Hall. And I think we should have, years ago, never have sued them. We should have got them to the table through trust and respect and recognizing that we do have to, right? Both sides have to contribute and share into the cost of healthcare. They have to contribute and share into the cost of protecting our budget for the entire city. So my commitment to the citizens of San Antonio is they will be first in the conversation. I will work hard for them. It will never be a conversation where I'm trying to separate or divide anybody. I think the relationship I have with both public safety unions brings everybody together. And know this, we've never had these problems in the last 30, 40 years in San Antonio. It only happened over the last three or four. These difficulties in these contracts were always taken care of with respect and courtesy, and they were done out of the limelight. We need to get back to that, and we need those relationships and that trust factor to make it happen.
Okay, then. And so do you remember Lou Fox? And when he was the city manager, they had some problems back then as well. So let's go to Mayor Ron Nuremberg to get your response. How are your relationship as mayor, if you get reelected, with the Firefighters Union and other public safety unions? What's that going to look like?
Well, I plan to maintain and strengthen a professional relationship with both unions, as I have with anyone who works for the City of San Antonio's taxpayers. We have to make sure that we have a proper relationship, though, and that it's not the lines aren't blurred. You cannot work for the union and also work for the taxpayers. It doesn't work that way. So what I plan to do is ensure that we are being fiscally responsible with taxpayer dollars, and that when a union tries to leverage political authority, which they are trying to do in this case, that we ensure that we're always answering to the taxpayer. The truth of the matter is, this war was waged against the city and its taxpayers that is a detriment to the men and women of the fire department and the men and women of the police department. When a handful of union leaders are able to hold a contract negotiation hostage and have a political campaign waged on the side of it to try to change public sentiment about that, it's a disservice to the people on the front lines who are actually working in law enforcement, who are working to fight fires. So we have to get a contract done that's fair to them, that's fair to the taxpayers, and that's what I plan to do. And I plan to provide professional leadership, as I have always done, for the police and fire of this community. And to say that there is any kind of disrespect for members of our elected body to maintain fiscal discipline is a complete spin on what's happening. The members of the fire department have been without raises, have been without the security of a long-term contract because there has been this union battle going on. We've got to draw the line and be fiscally responsible with our taxpayers, but taxpayer dollars, but also ensure we get a fair deal for the firefighters and the police officers.
Back to the callers. The number is 210-614-8980. We're having a forum with the two top mayoral candidates. Incumbent Ron Nuremberg is with us, and also City Council member from District 6, Greg Brockhouse. He is the leading challenger. And the phones lines, let's go to Christine. And Christine, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with the candidates for mayor.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I would like to present this to both candidates. What would you do to prevent physical violence against women, and how important is that to you?
Thank you. Okay, so domestic violence, we've seen the statistics. It's becoming a bigger and bigger problem here in Bexar County. Councilman Greg Brockhouse, can you talk about what can be done to deal with the issue?
Sure, and I appreciate the question. The number one thing is we have these issues in District 6. It's kind of reared itself over the last couple of years, and the escalation of it is the biggest concern. And I think the San Antonio Police Department, as far back as when we had seen issues within our case management system and the way we track and work these items over the course of years. And we had a very unfortunate and a very sad incident in District 6 where a mother lost her life as a result of an escalating domestic violence issue. So the number one most important thing we can do is continue to strengthen our mental health units at the San Antonio Police Department and invest in those educational pieces to make sure that we have the case management system and the tracking software within the department that's going to take care of this and ensure good, strict follow-up and accountability for those things. And the other partner is obviously with our nonprofit community as well, as working with the experts in the field, folks like the Battered Women's Shelter and other locations that are going to offer opportunity and hope and going to take care of families and in those situations. So I think it all comes down to me from a recognition of the issue itself, knowing where you're at as a district leader. So as in the District 6 community, we saw that, recognized that, and we made those visits and tried to help in any way we can. But it really becomes a public safety issue. And how do we make sure that we're tracking, monitoring, and following up every opportunity we get to protect families, period. Domestic violence can hurt any family in any way, shape, or form, and it's not one particular way to solve it. It's an all-in approach using the San Antonio Police Department, accountability, and our nonprofit partners to make it happen.
All right, and now Mayor Ron Nuremberg, you have an opportunity to answer the question about what can be done locally about domestic violence. And I really want to emphasize that we have this rule in place where you're only really supposed to talk about yourself and your views and your policies.
Yeah, well, domestic violence is certainly a scourge upon this community, has been for a number of years. And actually, prior to the previous mayoral election, this was an area that I diverged from the incumbent mayor, when the funds for domestic violence services were under attack. I fought hard to protect those services, protect those funds that allow the nonprofit organizations that do important work with victims advocacy and also law enforcement to continue on. I think that's a basic. We've got to continue that, and so that we strengthen our nonprofit community that deals in this area, organizations like Family Violence Prevention Services, the Battered Women and Children Shelter, and so forth. But we also have to have a zero-tolerance approach to this. Not only has it been bad in Bexar County, it's gotten worse, and it is a driver in our violent crime rate at this point. We have to make it easier for victims of domestic violence to report offenses, and we have to follow through to make sure that people who are accused, who are domestic violence offenders, are not given access to the folks that they abuse. And then finally, I think we need to work in advocacy in Austin as well as the federal government to strengthen laws that protect people who have been victims of domestic violence. There's a number of levels that we have to do, from law enforcement to nonprofit agency work, but also to strengthen the laws that protect victims of domestic violence.
Okay, and let's go back to the voicemail. And I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We've got the two leading candidates for mayor in the studio, and they are taking your calls. You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. And we have a voicemail, and let's hear it.
My name is Charles. My question is, one of the tasks for the mayor of San Antonio is to advocate for our city at the national and state level. Now being played out in our Texas legislature is a battle between over how much or how little urban areas can control their own destinies. What have you done or will do for our city at the state and national level to balance state and national control versus local control?
All right, and that goes for 2 minutes to incumbent Mayor Ron Nuremberg.
Well, thank you for that question, and it's a nuance that I think we don't get to talk enough about, which is that, here in Texas, especially in our cities in Texas, we believe strongly in self-governance. We've got to have the ability to make ordinances, to set policies, and create priorities that are reflective of our citizens' values, and we've enjoyed that over the last many years. Over the last several sessions, however, our self-governing authority has been under attack by the state legislature, and so we work at the advocacy level to work collaboratively, really, and we have been doing that. Since I became mayor, we've been working collaboratively with the state legislature and our leaders in Austin to find out what they are trying to achieve in some various legislation that they put forward, and work collaboratively to protect our local governing authority. We do the same thing at the national level, although the dynamic is a little bit different. We want to achieve collaborative solutions wherever possible, but we have a strong legislative action agenda that is constantly examined at the intergovernmental relations effort. I applaud the work of my colleague, Councilman Ray Saldana, in that effort this term. I was happy to serve in that capacity as a council member in previous administrations, but we have to continue our advocacy to maintain and protect self-governance here in San Antonio and other cities around Texas.
And now, Councilman District 6, Greg Brockhouse, challenger.
Well, I self-governance, local control, these are as Texas as you can get. Your ability to control your own destiny and future matters. And for the city of San Antonio, it's a huge concern for us. But we have to have a level of consistency in these things, too. And that means in Washington and in Austin. So it's hard when we enact policies that we expect Austin to fix and then turn around and get mad at them when they do something that we're not happy with. So we have to take and work our legislative agenda so that it mirrors the policies that we're trying to affect here in the city of San Antonio. But that partnership must be in place with our legislative team and those legislators in Austin that we have continually fought with over different types of things. So, for instance, if we come in and we do things from a property tax perspective, take that for example. Austin right now is trying to lower and reduce property taxes. The city of San Antonio is against that. And we have to be very careful about the message we're sending with that. So, but then again, we turn around and we're expecting Austin to handle our paid sick leave situation. So we passed a law in San Antonio, and now in Austin, we're not defending paid sick leave because we're going to let Austin fix our situation. So there's this mixed message of what San Antonio wants in a legislative perspective, what needs to be fought for in Austin and what needs to be fought for in San Antonio. Consistency means that we stand on what we're going to believe in. We put that message out clearly across the state and to the nation where necessary, and we stand on our beliefs that matter most to our residents and citizens, and our policy in Austin, you know, it has to reflect that. And I think the mixed messages we're sending are difficult. And you can look at paid sick leave and you can property tax relief and realize that we're looking at Austin to solve our problems. But then sometimes we're back here in San Antonio screaming we should have our own right to govern ourselves. So consistency of leadership, message, and sticking to it for the things that matter most to our citizens.
Back to the phone lines. This is Perry. And Perry, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with the candidates for mayor. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. TPR had a report this morning that Texas ranks in the bottom 10 states for being a green state. I wanted to know what each candidate, if they had plans for making our city a greener city to help mitigate climate change, and also if they plan to work with other mayors in other cities in Texas so that we come out of the bottom 10 and rise to the top of trying to mitigate climate change.
Perry, thank you for your question. And Greg Brockhouse, District 6 council member, challenger for mayor, you have 2 minutes.
Well, I think it's a given that every resident in this community, every leader, every business owner wants to protect our energy sources. They want to protect our water. They want clean air. And all of these things work together. And we all care about that in some way, shape, or form. My concern, so the city of San Antonio for a year has been knocking on the door of this climate action and adaptation plan. And finally, this plan came to us in January after an 85-person task force came up with their ideas on what they felt climate action and adaptation needs to be for the city of San Antonio going forward in the next 50 years. I would just caution citizens of the number one concern I have with it is it's a multi-billion dollar strategy. This thing could land anywhere between $5 and $8 billion. It has the potential to be a job killer. Major corporations in San Antonio have expressed sincere concern of their lack of involvement. They have now forced the city council, right? This negativity regarding the plan has now forced this to be pushed back, was to May and now into the fall. So the community is rising up to say someone has to pay for this. You can't bring a plan to us that has dollar signs by it, but no actual numbers. We need to know. So do we need to conquer and get after every one of those things? Yes. Do we need to lower our ozone levels in San Antonio? Of course we do. Do we need to work on asthma rates? Of course we do. But how we're going to pay for that is very important, especially in an environment where we have to be fiscally responsible and our tax dollars, we're struggling every day to put the money in the right priorities at City Hall. So for me, look, we need to take the climate action and adaptation plan. We need to put the brakes on it and put dollar signs on it. And then add the numbers to it so that we can recognize who's ultimately going to pay for this, the citizens of San Antonio. And it must mirror and match what we want in our community. And we have to do that in a very deliberate manner with education and taking it out to the community and asking them what they really think about it. It scares me. And right now I put the brakes on it, step back, and make sure it makes sense from a cost perspective to everybody in San Antonio.
Now, Mayor Ron Nirenberg, incumbent, running for mayor, can you talk about what the city can do to become greener?
Well, the reason why this question is so important is that I think citizens, especially children and grandchildren, are going to depend on us not having empty rhetoric about these issues. I have been a proud champion of the green space development protection of our environment as a council member and also as a mayor, both championing our aquifer protection initiatives as well as our linear creekway programs and working hard to restore air quality in our community. The same is true about climate. And we set out on a course, as did 400 other cities around the country, as did the national security environment, as did virtually every city, every company in the Fortune 500, understanding that climate change is an issue and we have to do something about it. What I don't want to do, though, is just have a piece of paper that nobody can stand behind. We've got to make sure that if we're going to do this, we go together. That way it will stand the test of time and we can implement the climate action and adaptation plan. That's what we're doing right now. We're working together across the community with people in the neighborhoods, our business community, as well as the environmental community, to come up with a set of strategies that has now been recognized by Bloomberg Philanthropies as the right way to go that can help us ensure we have clean water, that we have clean air, and that we're making a difference in reducing our carbon footprint. That's what's happening right now. We can go together and we can go far, or we can go alone and not get anything done, which is what people are tired of doing. So I'm proud to lead an effort on that front. We will get it done. We will ratify our climate action adaptation plan in the fall, and we'll be confident that we can implement those strategies going forward. I will tell you this, though. The focus on costs is important. We've got to make sure that we go into this strategy eyes wide open, and the cost of action need to be taken as seriously as the cost of inaction, which costs us community health and costs us and puts at risk thousands, millions of dollars of public and private property every single day.
All right, we have an email from Justin, and this goes first to Ron Nirenberg. Water is one of our most precious resources that we take for granted. Without mentioning the Vista Ridge pipeline, how will you, as mayor, guide San Antonio into a future of clean and safe drinking water? But if you need to mention the Vista Ridge pipeline, that's fine, too. Go ahead and do that. So, Mayor Ron Nirenberg, go ahead. 2 minutes.
Well, this is something that we can be very proud of as a community here in San Antonio that we've gotten right, and that is that we have been blessed over the last 400 years of modern history in San Antonio of being settled over one of God's great gifts, which is the Edwards Aquifer, the largest single-source aquifer in the world. And that has been the basis of our water security, providing cheap and affordable and clean water that's spring-fed. It doesn't require a lot of pumping to get it out of the ground to make it potable and allow us to drink from it. That being said, we know that many other communities around this area that are also growing depend on the Edwards Aquifer, so it requires responsible stewardship of that resource, environmental protection, but also making sure that we don't pump more than our fair share. So we've diversified over the last 25, 30 years under the strong leadership of this community and our San Antonio water system. So we will continue that effort. That's the vision forward, is to have long-term water security, which we do now in San Antonio. It requires strong conservation, and we have dropped our per capita water use so that today in San Antonio we're using the same amount of water as a community, as a whole, as we did about 25 years ago. We're also going to get regional sources of water, which is what you're seeing with some of the water coming in from Canyon Lake, and even the Vista Ridge project comes into that. We're also going to be working in technology, and we have one of the largest inland desal plants now online for San Antonio. So it requires us working together, being responsible stewards of an environmental resource, but also working together to ensure that other communities around us thrive and we have available water for our own, but also in the region.
And now, Greg Brockhaus, District 6 Councilman, challenger for mayor. What should we do about San Antonio's most precious resource, its water?
Well, I think we've seen great success from the San Antonio water system. So we have a national industry leading expert there, and they've been doing the fantastic work of already with, you know, diversification and multiplying our reach with this. It's pretty amazing. So you've got to be thankful for what we're seeing with the work out of SAWS. We've got to continue down that road. And there's also the Edwards Aquifer Protection pieces that we have to think about. That becomes portions of our development community, how we're growing, and how we've been purchasing land over years to protect that resource for what it is. But you also have to start to push back a little bit on realizing that these things all have a cost as well. And I keep coming back to cost because it's important to residents, homeowners, and taxpayers. So there's a balance that needs to be had here. I think Vista Ridge taught us an opportunity, but the thing is, I hear most frequently out knocking doors and talking to people is these utility rate increases. We have to be very careful about where our dollars are going. And if residents are going to see a 35 to 45% increase in their water utility or their water costs over the next 3 to 5 years, that's going to raise the flag for residents. So I think we need to be very vigilant and careful with what we're doing with Vista Ridge and even the taxation portions of how we're spending our money to diversify our water portfolio. We need to lean on SAWS. They're the experts in it. They've done great and fantastic work. Their conservation programs are excellent. And I think we need to continue to work down that path while being mindful of fee and utility rate increases to our residents. We have to hold the line on these at some particular point in time. And I don't buy the argument, well, it's already the lowest here or there, and you know what, we're paying better than anybody else. At the end of the day, the resident feels their payment. They make that every month. They have to have some level of certainty to it, especially our seniors and those living on a fixed income in our community. We have to hold the line on the rate increases, and we have to turn around and continue to do more with less, which we've seen from SAWS in a very solid manner over several years now.
Back to the phone lines, the number is 210-614-8980. We're talking with two of the leading candidates for mayor, Ron Nuremberg, the incumbent, and Greg Brockhaus, challenger, District 6 council member. Annette has called in. Annette, thanks for calling in. You're on The Source with the candidates. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I'd like to ask if there are plans for infrastructure for San Antonio regarding the roads, traffic, and flooding.
Okay, Annette, thank you for that question. So, Greg Brockhaus, you go first with 2 minutes.
Well, we need to increase our spending amounts into infrastructure. And we simply haven't done it over decades. And I think we've seen different things. So the city gets behind in rallies on certain items, for instance, the Decade of Downtown, or they're building up around Brooks, the Pearl, and all these other areas. But across the city of San Antonio, we've seen, and I can reference District 6 because that's the community I lead. We have the Edgewood School District area. We have Old Highway 90, where the infrastructure hasn't been touched in decades. And we've been trying to reallocate and put those resources into those areas. What's most important is that we ramp up and continue to spend more into infrastructure. It's just not enough. And so we came along in the beginning of this term, and we tried to do this equity budgeting item where we attempted to, as a council, put dollars to the areas where it needed most. Yet many areas in our community were left out from that conversation. And I'll take District 6 in the West Side as a perfect example. Every council district receives $6 million of a base funding amount for infrastructure to spend, but it's not enough to cover sidewalk gaps, missing sidewalks, neighborhoods that haven't seen a street repair in decades. So we need to make sure that every council member has a fair share of dollars and resources because they know what's best in those areas they have. And I'll tell you this, while we're struggling at infrastructure, we have the money and resources to put into it. It is a top four item when I'm knocking doors talking to residents. They want sidewalks, they want streets, they want curbs. And in some areas, they don't. So we have to get in and analyze what really happens and how an infrastructure program looks like. The infrastructure management program the city utilizes is good. It needs more funding, and we need to consider even coming into that and doubling and even tripling those bond dollars and everything we can into those infrastructure improvements. It's going to take more money, more dollars, more resources, but that's a priority conversation at City Hall. Infrastructure is a top priority for neighborhoods and communities, and that's why it's going to be a top priority for me as mayor.
And now Ron Nuremberg, incumbent, running for office as mayor. Go ahead, 2 minutes.
Well, I don't have time to correct some of the facts that the councilman mentioned, but it is true that we have increased the amount of resources going to infrastructure, basic street maintenance. We did that under my leadership over the last 2 years. We've increased it by about 50% over the last 2 years. When I got into office as a council member, we were spending $35 million a year on basic street maintenance. It is now at 110 here in the city of San Antonio. The truth of the matter is, though, it runs into a wall because about 66% of our budget, our operating budget annually, is in public safety. So it requires fiscal discipline across the board to make sure that we have basics going, have proper resources going into basic infrastructure. We're going to continue that effort. We're prioritizing the projects in the most congested areas, including on the west side, and we require our council offices to be leaders in showing where those resources need to go. But finally, we have to have a broader vision for the future, a bolder vision on transportation reform, and that's why I'm excited about launching ConnectSA, which is, again, the first ever comprehensive and multimodal transportation system for our future that will get us out of gridlock, and that will make sure that we have multiple options to commute around town, whether that's our streets, our arterials, whether it's better bus systems, whether it's our safe bike routes that are separated from vehicular traffic, and so on and so forth. It's a multimodal transportation system that is citizen-driven, finally delivers on the vision of SA 2020 and transportation planning, and then will be voter-approved in 2020.
Now, let's also talk a little about another infrastructure issue, chicken sandwiches at the airport. Let's talk about the airport, really, as the future of the airport, an important part of San Antonio. There's been a lot of talk at City Hall about what to do about that. There's been some studies that have been done. So where do each of you candidates sort of fit in on what the future of the airport is? And also, if you want to talk about chicken sandwiches, go right ahead. So, Ron Nuremberg, go ahead.
I do want to talk about the airport. I'm not as much concerned about the fast food in the airport as I am about the actual airport. And the important thing is that the airport is starting to grow. We're starting to see about a 50% increase in new market activity, new directs and nonstops, and that is because our airport is a trailing indicator of our economy, and our economy is booming. So we're starting to see that play out at the airport. We have to have a plan for where the airport of the future will be, and I put together a panel of experts, military, business, and citizens, community leaders, to tell us and answer the question, where should San Antonio's airport of the future be? And what they found was, as I thought, we have a strategic competitive advantage to have a major international airport in the heart of the seventh largest city in the United States. So we're developing, with their help, a master plan right now that will allow us to continue to invest in San Antonio International to make sure that that is a leading airport for the United States in the heart of our city, and that's what I'm very excited about the airport.
Nothing about chicken sandwiches?
I think there's way more important priorities to talk about than fast food at the airport.
Okay, so Greg Brockhouse, sir, you have 2 minutes to talk about the airport and food court.
Well, I think that, we need to consider the conversation of a regional airport. I don't think we should give up on that at this point in time, especially considering the funding and the federal dollars that are going to become available for that. At this point, I sit on the Transportation Committee. They came back with a plan. It's a second runway update. There's things that are looking up for the San Antonio Airport, and we need to see if it works in its current location. It can handle the capacity for the next 25 to 35 years. But I don't think we give up on a regional airport just simply because of the growth and eventually what San Antonio and Austin is going to look like in the next 50 to 75 years. I do think it matters, the message we send and the businesses we do. We work with at the airport, and it is a massive issue when the nation is ridiculing San Antonio because of our inability to allow for religious freedom in our contracting process. So I do take great exception to the fact that it is that someone would say leading our city, it's a non-issue. Look, at the end of the day, here's some key important facts that people should know. Chick-fil-A deserves to be at the airport. We're going to revote that, and hopefully we're going to get them back in by May 2nd. They deserve their opportunity. They adhere to the non-discrimination ordinance. They are a fantastic employer of the city of San Antonio, and they believe in religious freedom, and they want their opportunity to be treated equally just like everybody else. The Chick-fil-A situation is really caused an uproar in our community because people feel left out in a city where we should be inclusive and welcoming to everybody. Chick-fil-A does more business in 6 days than any other restaurant does in seven. They hire everybody. They take care of everybody. And I'm just kind of really, it's sad that we've come to this point where we as a council are running away from a situation when we need to fix it and fix it immediately. Put the vote down. We can always say we made a mistake. That's okay too. And we can fix it and get back to doing the good things that matter. But it is a major issue because faith is a major issue in our community, and our ability to respectfully take care of everyone and welcome everyone matters. It's a message to the business community. It's a message to the nation. And we have to hold true to the beliefs that built San Antonio, faith and family.
Yeah. All right, and now we're going to go to another caller, and I think we should move on. Okay. Mike, hi, Mike. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air. You got a question?
Good afternoon. I have a question for the candidates. Property taxes have really got a role here.
Okay.
It would
You're kind of cracking up. So, Mike, it sounds like you want to talk about property taxes, and I think we have both our candidates have plenty to say on that. So let's go to Greg Brockhaus, Challenger, for the office of the mayor. Go ahead.
Two straight years, the record's clear. I've pushed for property tax relief to include a citywide homestead exemption, and that was voted down by this city council. Myself and Clayton Perry have continued to push for it since we took office. Property tax relief matters, period. It doesn't matter where you live in the city, where you live, what neighborhood you're in. The ability for you to afford and stay in your home and control your property taxes matters, period. There is no other conversation there. It's a huge issue for our citizens, and it affects just about everything we're doing. People and families living in their generational homes, avoiding displacement, having to leave because they can't afford their taxes is a massive issue. The city of San Antonio controls a portion of that. It's not the greatest portion. Obviously, there's a school finance issue that needs to be taken care of in Austin, and we need to be fighting hard to make sure that those resources are allocated and that the school districts have the opportunity to successfully use the money they have without having to go back and take more. It's a major problem, and I think we're seeing great work with that in Austin and our legislative team right now. But at the end of the day, we control something as leaders in our community. And I don't really care if it's $5 a month. It does not matter to me what we're giving back to residents, because the residents are clamoring for it. They want security in their property taxes. And frankly, everybody just received their bills over the last couple of months. So it's in front of mind for everybody right now to have the ability to control their payment and lower those fees and resources. And if we can do that, look, more money back into a resident's pocket, any amount of dollars, is going to get spent back in our economy. It's going to allow them to stay in their homes and provide more for their families. And that's what I'm about. The government in San Antonio needs to learn to do more with less, and it can start with property tax relief. We control it. We should have the courage to do it. And I'm looking forward to that conversation in the next term.
And Mayor Ron Nuremberg, property taxes.
When I go and walk out in the community, it doesn't matter what district, what side of town I'm in, everybody needs property tax relief. But what they won't stand for is more political sound bites that say, I'm providing property tax relief and it doesn't happen. However the councilman wants to spin it, I'm the only one up here that has actually successfully voted to reduce the tax rate in San Antonio. Now, I'll tell you what we're doing now to make sure that it's not empty rhetoric, is that we're working here at the local level. We have worked to start a top-down review of the appraisal district process to make sure that government is appraising the properties for your property for what it's worth, not what the government thinks it needs. We're examining an actual homestead exemption that would provide for additional relief beyond what we are currently providing in the city of San Antonio, which is one of the strongest senior freezes in the state. And we are working at the legislature to collaboratively on the real issue that is driving property tax bills going up and up and up, which is the state legislature's backing away from its fair share of funding school districts in San Antonio. The reason why property taxes have gone up steadily over the last 10, 12, 15 years is because the state has paid for less and less of the school district finance that's required to keep the majority of our kids educated in this community. So we're working with them to address that issue and to provide real relief for property owners and homeowners here in San Antonio.
All right. We have kind of reached the end of our time, and so we're going to move to the closing statements portion of our program. And so Mayor Ron Nuremberg, you're going to go first, and you have 1 minute to sell your ideas.
Well, I'm glad for this opportunity. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has, I think, provided us a clear choice. I'm the only candidate that's a proven leader with a proven record of getting things done for San Antonio. And we see that in our booming economy. We see that in the plummeting crime rate. We also see that in us being able to take on our challenges head on transportation, to affordable housing, to issues of the environment. I'm also the only candidate with a strong vision for the future. You see that with Connect SA, which is the most innovative transportation plan the city has ever seen. It will be on your ballot next year. You see that with Alamo Promise, which will provide tuition-free community college to qualifying students in Bexar County. And then you see that with our equity budgeting that is finally taking our resources as a community and putting them where they are needed the most, where they will have the most impact. I am confident that with your vote, we will continue to build on the foundation that we've laid here in San Antonio, and we'll continue our success. So I'm asking for your vote on May 4th to continue working hard every single day to make San Antonio the city you deserve. Thank you very much.
All right, and the final closing statement goes to Greg Brockhaus, the council member from District 6 and a challenger for the office of mayor.
David, I continue to be thankful for the opportunity to have a conversation. Thank you to the listeners, and thank you to Ron Nirenberg for once again standing side by side. And I couldn't agree more with Ron on this point. It's a stark difference in choice between the two of us. One of us is focused on neighborhoods. One of us is focused on community. And I'm working as hard as I can. My track record of success in District 6 is unparalleled. We kept going and working hard in the neighborhoods, working on streets, sidewalks, talking about property taxes, going to doors, and learning what matters most to residents. The biggest disconnect in this city is what's happening at City Hall doesn't match what's happening in the neighborhoods. What people want to see happen on their streets, what's most important to them. And that's going to start with property tax relief and fee relief, a bigger focus on jobs and wages. We cannot send a message to the nation now that we're closed for business and we don't include people just because we disagree with them. We have to be opening and welcoming to everybody in the city. And we need to focus on infrastructure and spread those dollars across the entire city. It matters. And then from a public safety perspective, we've got to get back on track with respect and good treatment, right? Back to the basics with our police officers and firefighters so that they understand that we value them and the work they do is important. It matters. I'm asking for your vote on May 4th. We can no longer worry about missing big things in our city. We have to work hard for them together and do the best we can. I look forward to further conversations. Thank you, Ron.
All right, and that was Greg Brockhaus. He is a council member from District 6, and he is a candidate for mayor. Also with us this afternoon is Ron Nirenberg. He is the incumbent candidate for mayor. Election day is Saturday, May the 4th. There are 9 total candidates running for mayor. We included the top 2. They met our criteria for fundraising and other metrics. We have information on that on our website. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks so much for tuning us in.